Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back, YouTube. Welcome, that was very high, wasn't it? Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. It's been a minute. It's been a minute, hasn't it? I've been away, we've been busy, we've had FA Cup weekends and stuff. I feel like we haven't live streamed for a while. It's our first time in, what, like 2 weeks? 3 weeks, maybe?
Yeah, FA Cup weekend last weekend, so we didn't do one then. And then, yeah, you were busy swanning around.
Busy swanning around places. So, yeah, nice to see you all. Thank you all for joining us here on FPL Family on a Sunday night for the first Sunday in, yeah, 2 or 3 weeks. Fresh from the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, you've come in, literally done a sat down, waffed down some dinner, done a load of work on the stream. You've not stopped, really. You've barely taken your coat and your shoes off.
It's did not help. This evening has not gone how I thought it was going to go. Yeah. I'm very stressed.
Yeah.
By the game, by coming home to just chaos.
Well, tell us about the game then, because, was it as... Well, it was the tension was high throughout, right? Throughout, even when the refs were faffing about. We'll come to that later on. But how was the tension in the stadium?
I don't think there was any. Oh. So you keep saying this. You kept going on about, there's loads of tension. Everyone's going to be stressed. Spurs will get on their backs. None of that happened.
Okay, all right.
We were all quite... It was honestly the most chirpy atmosphere I've been in at Spurs for 2 years.
You lose 4-1 to Arsenal and it's chirpy.
Well, as the game went on, at the end, we were all like, right, well, yeah, obviously it's not great, is it, the defeat? However, that I think the whole feeling has changed in the club.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I think, honestly, and like you kept saying to me all weekend in trying to wind me up, oh, if you go one behind, the crowd will get on their backs, you'll all get really... That didn't happen.
Okay, good. I'm glad. Quickly. I'm glad.
You were wrong. And I think, yeah, look, as the game went on... We got to for the first 60 minutes of the game, it was tight. We were in it. They were nervy. We were playing. It was the best first half of football I've watched us play in 2 years. Second half, we come out. Once they scored the second, it was more difficult. We had one ruled out for a push. Fine.
I don't think that's fine.
But I don't think it's a foul. It's right in front of me.
Didn't you concede one to us
when
Van Dijk pushed Romero and that was given?
Yeah, the same. And I think there's got to be some consistency.
I don't think it is fine. That one. It's an awful decision.
Then that's fine. But be consistent with it.
Yeah.
Like, there was a lot of stuff today that wasn't consistent. But whatever. I'm not here to moan about the refs.
I am.
I know you are. But
always.
I'm not here to moan about the refs. Despite the... however long they had at half-time to fix their bloody mics, and then they still hadn't fixed it.
Never mind the half-time one. The one at the beginning of the game was just... it was insane.
By the way, they said nothing in the stadium. They didn't tell us. I had to text you and go, what is happening?
Yeah, and Gary Neville was going pretty hard in on the refs. And by the time they'd got to fixing it, I was like, he didn't go hard enough, Neville. It was a shambles, that. Mm. It was, and I know it maybe didn't come across in the stadium.
No, it did. We were
but
like,
I can tell
what's
you,
happening?
It was a shambles. And if I was an Arsenal fan, I'd have been even more raging because actually they came out traps like you wouldn't believe, like greyhounds, right? 10 or 12 minutes, they were all over you. And what happened was the refs decided they needed to change their batteries or something. And it killed the game. It killed the momentum.
Mm.
And for sort of a little while after that, it took it almost like it was a hard reset on the game. And I know Arsenal come out 4-1, and but if that result of that game goes a different way today, I think the Arsenal fans would rightly, in my opinion, have been aggrieved about how that happened and how that played out at the beginning of the game. I thought it was a disgrace, honestly. It doesn't take much for me to go in on refs. We know this. But it was a disgrace. In a game where I was looking forward to it all week, I thought it was going to be a great game, and it was a great game. And the build-up to it was brilliant. The teams come out. You got the Spurs music and everything. I can only imagine what it was like at the stadium.
It was great. It was
brilliant, right? First 10 or 15 minutes, all right, Arsenal, I'd say they were in the ascendancy, but largely it was a really good game. And it, bang, bubble burst by that happening. And it just completely killed the atmosphere. And it took time then to get going again, the game. So I thought it was a shambles, to be honest.
It's interesting that it came across like that because it didn't feel like it killed the atmosphere in the stadium. We were all annoyed because we were like, what is happening? Can somebody just come on the mic and tell us? Even if the ref comes on and goes, we've got, or put it on the VAR screen, we've got some issues with we're just fixing some technical issues. everyone's fine then. But it was annoying because nobody knew what was happening. We were all getting frustrated. But actually what was more annoying was the one after half time, because you've had 15 minutes at half time
yeah.
to fix your crap. And you come out.
So true.
And we start, and the players are standing there ready to go for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's like, you've had 15 minutes to fix this. If you've got a problem, leave them in the dressing room. Don't just leave them standing outside in the cold. Like, it's ridiculous. But anyway.
But despite the refs being crap, you're chirping that, and feel like
upbeat. I honestly feel like, and we said it around us, like, yes, the end result isn't great, but that was the best performance for 60 minutes I've watched all season from us. We fought. There was grit. There was some actual desire from us, which we've not seen in ages. We've not seen the chasing down of the ball. I've not seen the crowd behind them. I've not seen the manager so...
He was animated, was he?
Animated is a good word for him. And I thought, actually, there's definitely... It feels like there's something to build on there. It wasn't... obviously, I would have liked the result to have gone differently. Absolutely. But at 2-1, if that foul goal stands, we're back in it again.
Yeah.
When Richarlison has one late on that kind of dribbles in, Raya makes a good save actually and stops it dribbling in.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing save.
But, you know, we were in the game and we've not been in a game like that for a long time. So I look at it as a positive. I think there's plenty of positives we can build on. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, what happens over the course of the rest of this season is completely in our hands. We are clear of the drop zone. If we get points in the bag, we'll stay up. So it's not like we're reliant on other people dropping points. Like, we're not in the bottom three and having to fight our way out. We've just got to keep going. And there was enough in that performance to look positive on what's going to happen over the next few weeks.
Okay. All right. I won't say anything counter that. I thought it came across totally different on the TV. I thought you were dominated, to be honest. There were some green shoots, right? There were some green shoots. I thought Colomwani played well. It's the best I've seen him play.
He's worked with Tudor before.
Yeah. So, and he looked. That's the best he's played. That's all I would say. I thought he played very, very well. You're a bit unlucky with the push, but largely you got completely dominated by Arsenal. I thought the first half an hour was just all them, to be honest with you. I do wonder, and I don't know, I do wonder whether there's almost like this, like, there's not an acceptance that Spurs are in a relegation battle. It's just like West Ham and Forest, and we'll get to all the games in a bit, they were much, much better this weekend. Much better, both of them. And they only got 1 point between them, which is criminal. But I didn't think Spurs were much, much better. But you're saying from the stadium, it did feel much, much better.
As somebody who sits in that stadium week after week for years and years, it was much better.
Yeah, all right, okay. Well,
much better.
We'll have to disagree on it a little bit. I think you've got the home games you've got left, and I know the Spurs have not been great at home this season, but the home game, you've got about five home games left, and they're all against absolutely winnable teams. That's what's going to define whether you stay up or not, I think. Guys, we're going to talk about all the games. As usual, we'll talk about how our FPL weeks have gone. We've got a game still to go, of course. Manchester United versus Everton at the Hill Dickinson Stadium is going to be tomorrow night. I've got still Bruno Fernandes to play. I assume you have too, and I assume most of you that are watching will have Bruno Fernandes still to play. But the weeks have been okay. They've been all right, I think. I'm on a little bit of a, I wouldn't call it a hot streak, but I'm on a reasonable run of greens at the minute. I was on a very nice green at the end of yesterday, but I had most of my players playing. I only really had Gabriel today. So I was absolutely expecting to take a bit of a hit today. And things like the Palace clean sheet sticking when Wolves miss a penalty. Ugh, that's annoying because I didn't have Palace clean sheet. What else happened today that got me? So Harry Wilson, not mega owned, is he? But Harry Wilson grabbing an assist and a couple of DEFCONs and maybe some bonus ones. So there's a couple of things that just went against, but there's a few things that went for. Like, for example, Timber didn't get a big haul after I sold him this week. I only had just Gabriel in that game. So to come away from it with
You benched Rice,
limited damage, because I benched Rice. It was kind of, I was expecting a bit of a red, but I was at 165 at the back end of yesterday, after yesterday's games, because I had some proper, and I mean proper jam, some results that I was not expecting, like Verbruggen 7-pointer, was not expecting that this week.
Nor was us.
But no, absolutely. But we'll get to the games in just a second. Let's say hello to a few people before we get on with those games and how our teams have got on. RunnerBean78 is in. That's a new name. Not heard you in here before. RunnerBean, welcome to the FPL Family live stream here on a Sunday night. Ashley Curzon is here. We've got Nick F7. Nice to see you. William Cattell is here. United BT. Very nice to see you. Joseph Maloney is in. Very nice to see you, mate, who I spoke to actually at back end of last week. Joseph, very nice to see you on our patron Zoom call. He sent in the super chat and he says, "Hi, Lee and Sam, how are you?" We're doing all right, mate. Great chat during the week, Lee, on 37 with Bruno tomorrow. Yes, mate. So 37, not a bad score for this week. Not bad. Not bad. Hopefully the chat was useful. Joseph is one of our actually long-term patron supporters, been supporting us for some time. So Joseph, thank you very much for supporting us. And yeah, had a good chat with him. One of our Zoom calls last week. So hopefully that was useful to you, mate. Kevin Jenkins is here. We've got Clacko752. Hayley and Sam. Hello, mate. Louise B is here. Who else have we got? We've got Mark Dixon. War Hornet is in. Steve Kingdom FC is here. Nicole is here. Hey, Nicole. George is here as usual. Hello, mate. Nice to see you. Gordon Smith, a whole host of you in this evening. So welcome to the FPL family live stream. Thanks for bearing with us a little bit at the beginning there. Just as Sam was pulling together the last of the graphics, because like I say, it's been a whirlwind, isn't it? Straight in from the football, straight into a bit of food, straight into the graphics, and then straight onto the live. Sam, let's get on with some of these games, shall we?
Yeah, don't ask me about anything else that happened today.
Right. Okay.
Because I haven't seen any of it. So you'll have to talk about those however many other games there were today by yourself. But we can talk about yesterday.
All right. I shall do my best. Tell me then about... Let's start with one of those games from yesterday. And Chelsea 1, Burnley 1. Let's start there. So...
In the end.
One of the games... One of the players, I think, that coming into this week, you said, I should be captaining. I'm a bit worried that he's not in my team from your perspective, was João Pedro. And after 4 or 5 minutes, I thought, oh, God, she's absolutely right. I should have captained him. And yeah. I bottled it, guys, honestly.
You were faffing like you can't believe about the captaincy.
Do you know what?
I've never seen you be like that before.
Yeah, I was very, very indecisive about captaincy.
Yeah,
I've
never seen that from you before.
Very. Because we went on Sky Saturday morning and I had it on João Pedro, for those of you that caught us on Sky on Saturday morning. But I even said when we were live on with Hayley, I said, look, I reserve the right to change that because I'm not sure. I'm not sure. And then we're in the car on the way back. And I basically didn't talk to you for the whole journey, right? Because I was just my head in my phone, flip-flopping between Haaland and João Pedro. And then you said about Semenyo, and that got in my head a bit as well. So I was like, oh, yeah, it's just a pretty good shout as well. And then somebody mentioned on Twitter about Thiago. And I honestly was all over the place with captaincy this week. But after about 5 or 6 minutes of this game, I thought I've made a boo-boo.
Yeah, because you moved it to Haaland.
Because I go Haaland in the end, yes. And I thought maybe João Pedro... Yeah, after this, I thought, well, João Pedro is going to go on and get more goals at home to Burnley. And actually, he didn't. And in the end...
In the end, Burnley are a bit unlucky they don't win this game right at the death.
Well, maybe. And there was a bit of... I don't know. Chelsea fans, tell me what you think. But, you know, I saw the videos, as we all did during the week, of them having a lovely time in Dubai, João Pedro and Palmer and all the rest of them having a lovely holiday this week. And I don't begrudge any footballer a holiday, right? Liverpool had a bit of a break this week as well. Some of them went away. And we were crap as well. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Chelsea, yeah, a few of them gone on a holiday and they come back and they drop a couple of very easy points at home to Burnley and another red. What's going on? Because Palmer captain was popular as well, right? He's one I didn't have, so I didn't consider him. But that's popular.
Well, João Pedro and Cole Palmer were the first and second most transferred in this week.
Yeah.
I was genuinely concerned about not having either of them. And I just felt like with the fixtures coming up after this one for Chelsea that I'd kind of missed the boat. And I was kind of too late to go there. Well,
I think you're right, but we should point that out, right? The Chelsea fixtures, I mean, we sat here probably, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago and said, really nice, you've got to get on it now. And I got João Pedro, and I think like the whole community got Enzo Fernandez at the time because Palmer was a bit iffy with his injury and Enzo was playing 10 and on pens when Palmer wasn't there. So all this narrative about Chelsea, fixtures looked amazing. Well, now here we are, game week 28. They got Arsenal away next, Villa away, Newcastle at home, Everton away, Manchester City. So they are now, according to the Fantasy Football Scout ticker that you can see on screen, bottom for fixtures over the next five. So the narrative is completely changed. And this game week 28, I think, is a bit of a fixture swing for a few different teams. We'll talk about it as we go through the games, but Chelsea definitely one of those.
Massively. And so because of that, I was like, right, well, I can't really go there. I've got to pick on teams that have got good fixtures coming up. I'm going to have to just ride through this one and hope it doesn't end up being a massive Chelsea win.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to hope the clean sheet goes and that João Pedro and Cole Palmer stay as quiet as possible. So on Saturday afternoon, when it's 4 minutes in and João Pedro scores,
you're like, oh.
You're thinking, oh God, I wish I'd captained him.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, oh God, my rank, this is the end of me.
R.I.P.
This is the end of me. This, oh, I'll give up now. I might as well retire with Az. That's where I was, what in my head I was thinking. Anyway.
Stop having a go at Az,
I love Az. I love Az so much. I love him so much. Only he could sell a goalkeeper that then clean sheets. He made,
and I'm sure he won't mind us saying it. I'm pretty sure he put it on Twitter. He made the goalkeeper transfer from hell this week, didn't he? Verbruggen to Kelleher. Which on the face of it is absolutely fine, right? If he'd have said that to me, what do I think? Before I'd have gone, yeah. Yeah, Brentford in, of course. Oh, bloody hell.
Bless him. That's a goalkeeper. And in the long run, maybe it pays ages. Off because maybe Kelleher keeps some clean sheets. But we're watching this game and I'm thinking, oh God. Okay, well, here we go. And then as the game's progressing and Chelsea having opportunities, but they're not getting anything out of it. And I'm thinking, all right. And then I shout and you disappeared off. So I shouted up to you, Cole Palmer's just gone off. And you were like, oh,
did he look upset and all?
Oh, he was furious. He was fuming that he was being taken off.
Rightly so as well. Rightly so.
Well, so he goes off and I'm thinking, okay, one bullet firmly dodged. Because he was at this point, I didn't obviously know what was going to happen with my captain, but he was a heavily captain player. And I'm thinking, heavily transferred in, heavily captained, bullet dodged. João Pedro, I'm thinking you just can't get anything else. One goal I can probably stick is probably okay.
Yeah.
It got better for me as the game went on because then Burnley wipe out the clean sheet. The player gets sent off. Burnley wipe out the clean sheet and that causes João Pedro to drop in bonus points as well. So actually for me, I was quite pleased with the way that this went from an FPL perspective.
Do you think they got a bit complacent, Chelsea, here? I think they did massively. They've got to kill this game off, haven't they? They've just got to go for the jugular.
It was one of those where they had so many opportunities in this game.
Yeah.
They had so many chances to kill this one off. And they didn't take them through one thing or another. On a different day, they score 4 or 5 early on in this game and kill off Burnley. And they don't come back into it. But when you leave a game at 1-0... there is always the risk that this happens, especially when you go down to 10 men.
The header is so like poor from a Chelsea perspective as well, isn't it?
It's such a good header for
James Ward-Prowse. I've just seen this comment in the chat and I loved it. James Ward-Prowse, first best corner he's hit in 6 years, Ward-Prowse. And Fleming just comes from absolutely nowhere. It's the Brazilian lad. I think it's Andre Santos. Just lets him go. Just lets him go. And you're like, what are you doing? And then you're right, actually. They score that goal and then they get another corner in the dying minutes.
Yep.
Same thing happens.
They nearly do it again.
And they nearly score again. You're like, Chelsea, what are you playing at? What are they playing at? And I think that's two massive points dropped for Chelsea. What are you going to do with your Chelsea assets then? When I say assets, I just mean Enzo. You've just got Enzo, haven't you? What are you planning?
And to be honest, I've wanted to sell Enzo for about 3 weeks now.
Same.
But since Cole Palmer came back, I've wanted to sell Enzo, but the fixtures have been too good not to do it. This week, he'll 100%
go. 100%
go? 100%. Okay. I don't feel like, with the fixtures the way that they are, there's any need to hold him, especially when you can go up or down from him. There's so many, and we talked, you hinted at fixture swings. This is a massive fixture swing period that we're coming into now. You've got teams that are suddenly getting really good fixtures that you can go to. Brentford are one of them, despite the fixtures, the result this weekend. But there's a load of
Liverpool swinging as well, despite the crap performance today. Yeah,
well, same as Brentford. I think there's a number of options that you can go to right now from Enzo that look more likely to be involved in the attacking returns. Because this is the problem with Enzo, is that over the last couple of weeks, his involvement is, I mean, the underlying numbers are still weirdly there, but they're not, he's not returning the FPL points anymore in the same way that he was a few weeks ago. So he's an easy sell, I think.
What would you do? So if you were a João Pedro owner then, or if you were a Palmer owner, what would you do with those guys?
They're more difficult.
Yeah.
They're more difficult because they are performing. Well, Palmer didn't this week, but and for managers that have just bought them in, I think you kind of have to stick with them a little bit. Now, if you've just bought João Pedro and Cole Palmer in this week, given the fact that we've got a blank game week coming up and you've probably got Arsenal, Man City and Palace, maybe you've got Wolves assets, you've got to find a way to deal with them, surely, ahead of dealing with somebody like Cole Palmer or João Pedro.
Well, I'm in a stickier situation than you because I've got, obviously, I've got Enzo and João Pedro. But your team, having wildcarded and got transfers in the bank, is in a much healthier position than mine is, because I've got all these players that are, that will or are or probably will blank in 31, right? I said this a few weeks ago. I've said it on the Ohana podcast, if you've been listening to those on a Thursday via our Patreon, is that, you know, I've got three City and I've still got, I've got two Arsenal now.
And one transfer?
I've only got one transfer coming up for this week. Yeah, I did have Giu as well. I sorted him out this week. I've got Dorgu still sitting there.
Praying he's back.
do you know what? For the first time, because it weird, isn't it? Because in my head, I was just like, well, Dorgu's out. Like, he's out. So for he's a problem I've got to fix in 31. But you said to me when we were walking around town Saturday, you were just like, he might be back by then. I thought, she might be right, actually. So I looked.
I'm trying to work out how long he's been out for, and therefore how many more weeks it is.
So I did what every good FPL manager does. I go down a bloody rabbit hole, didn't I? I started looking at his agent's Instagram.
Right.
And his agent's Instagram has got videos of Dorgu in the gym, and it says he'll be back, you know, if not immediately, then he'll be back, you know, back on the pitch soon with a sort of strong emoji. I was like, oh.
Well, if he's got a month. Back. He's got a month.
Maybe Dorgu just stays. I don't know, guys. Like, what the hell? Maybe I just ride out the Dorgu injury the whole time. Ridiculous. So if Dorgu does look like he's back for 31, I might just keep the bugger. Do you know what I mean? Ridiculous, isn't it? But I still have Enzo and João Pedro.
I love the fact you stalked his agent.
That's stupid. That's what we do as FPL managers, isn't it? This is the levels we go to.
I mean, of all those things to stalk.
Yeah, silly, isn't it? But
did just go and check on the Man United website.
Oh, that'd be silly, wouldn't it?
No, stalk his agent.
Of course, Sam. That'd be silly, wouldn't it? So because of my, because of those two Chelsea boys sitting there, and because I've got the Man City and the Arsenal assets still sitting there, and Dorgu, it's like, well, I'm not blessed with tons of, you know, luxury transfers that I can make between now and 31 to get an 11 out. So actually, the Chelsea boys moving João Pedro or Enzo, it's a bit of a luxury for me. Like, I don't really want to have to spend one of my transfers doing that.
Yeah.
So João Pedro,
João,
I think
Pedro definitely
he can stay.
Oh,
for me,
sure.
he could definitely stay. Enzo,
what's their game in 31? Who have they got?
Let's have a look. Good question. Manchester City at home. No, that's 32. Everton away,
which is fine.
That feels okay.
You can definitely play. Whether you want to keep Enzo is one thing, but João Pedro, he's absolutely fine to hold. And if you've got Palmer, he's fine to hold as well.
And I've had a look at my team. I've sort of had a look on FPL team about the next couple of weeks. I could bench Enzo. Enzo is benchable for the next couple of weeks. And then maybe, so Arsenal away, maybe I bench him. Although the way that Arsenal are starting to concede goals, let's not beat around the bush, you know. Villa away, mixed form from Villa right now. Newcastle, Everton. So I don't know. I mean, I don't want to, right? And I saw as I was coming onto the live stream, I got a little fix notification on my phone saying Enzo due to drop in price 80%. So people are already, I've seen it in the chat, people are already jumping off of Enzo. It sounds like you are as well. I want to, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to, as well as get 11 out for game week 31, unless Dorgu gets fit. I don't know.
It's interesting though, isn't it? Because I think like my planned transfer this week was to go from Enzo to Florian Wirtz. Maybe this is a little segue into talking about Liverpool in a minute. But obviously then, while I'm walking into the Spurs or towards the Spurs stadium, I get a text from you to say Wirtz was injured in the warm-up today.
Yeah.
I thought, oh.
Should we move it on to that then? Because I don't think we're not discussing Burnley, other than fair play, they got a point, but they're still dead and buried, aren't
they? You're still not going to invest from an FPL perspective, are you? You're not going to get any Burnley players in.
No, we're not getting anyone there. But let's jump to that today, and let's jump to Forest 0, Liverpool 1. I have so much I want to tell you about this, guys. But
go on. I'm...
No, because I want to hear about your Wirtz thing, right? Because, I did text you to say, just a heads up, because I knew you were thinking of Wirtz, if not for this week, then next.
Well, yeah.
And he then does he does an injury in the warm-up. Now, Slot come out after the game and said he felt something in his back. Now, you've got to be careful with backs. I mean, you put your back out, you're done for the season.
He felt
something in his back, didn't want to risk him. He put Curtis in there. But then I think Slot said something about Wirtz. It's, you know, they don't think it's serious, right? So eyes on it, but they don't think it's super bad.
I've heard we don't think it's serious about other players in the past, though, and then they've been out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
because their view of I don't think it's serious isn't the same as mine. Like,
the difference is with Slot is that he's so stereotypically Dutch and honest, isn't he? That he never tells him. If this was Eddie Howell or Arteta, that Wirtz is done until 2028.
No, but I didn't mean that. I just meant like when when they say, oh, you know, it might not be out for long, they can mean like 1 or 2 weeks. But in FPL, 1 or 2 weeks is a long time to be out. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, yeah, sure.
It's different, isn't it, between what they think and what we think?
For sure, we've got to keep an eye on it. But, I don't think it's going to affect him. Like, when you saw the performance today, I mean, bloody hell. They just didn't know what they were doing without him, frankly. It was just awful. Do you want to say anything about this game, or can I go into a massive rant about how crap we were?
I can't say anything about this game, even if I wanted to.
Right.
Because all I can tell you is that for the last 5 minutes, I was stood in the south stand. It was quite quiet still up there at that point. When I'm at Spurs, when it gets into the game, sorry, slackers, but I turn them on mute while I'm watching the game, because otherwise my phone in my pocket goes and I'm like, oh, so, but I have it on what before the game kicks off, so I feel it go, I look at my watch and it's like McAllister, and I was like, oh
yeah,
yes. And then
the first one
then, right. It got ruled out, then there was another one, so that saga of McAllister scoring, not scoring, and then there being eventually a goal is all I know about what happened in the Liverpool game. So I'm going to sit here nice and quietly, drink my Pepsi, while we listen to what you've got to say.
Well, listen, George is in the chat. He says, Bonfield, be positive, you got 3 points. Mate, I am over the moon that we've got 3 points out of this game, because let me tell you, that was complete and utter daylight robbery. We've gone to Nottingham Forest today with a mask on and a cape and a bag of swag. We've stolen 3 points and we are running back to Liverpool faster than you can say top four. Honestly, it was one of the worst halves of... And we've had some crap with Liverpool so far this season, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
We have had some crap. Right. Let me tell you, that first 45 minutes was utter bullshit. Honestly, it was terrible.
Why?
I don't know. Curtis Jones played like a player that had been told 2 minutes before kickoff he's going to play.
Well, he was.
I know, but he played like it. He was just, everything was so slow. It was awful.
just noticed. Look what I've done to my ring. Must have been when I was clapping today. Look how bent it is.
No, no. Just,
it's so bent.
That's the Colomwani goal. Honestly, the first half was awful. Second half was better. But when I say better, I mean we've gone from a -4 out of 10 to like a 2. Like, it was so bad, Sam, honestly.
So, okay, but it can't just have been that Florian Wirtz wasn't there.
Well, no, I'm sure, that, you know, for sure there's more to it than that. Like, people were saying, well, you know, you texted me and said, how was Mo? I was like, who? I wasn't even sure he played. I don't want to talk badly of the guy, right? I really don't, because he's a legend. He's one of my favourite ever Liverpool players. But he was utter guff today. Utter guff. And when he comes off, like, Salah doesn't get subbed, does he?
No.
Just that you don't sub Salah. Klopp never did.
Bit like Palmer.
You just don't ever sub him. Well, he come off on about 70-odd minutes, and had this little cheeky smile on his face, like a little grin on his face, as if to say, huh, you've put me off. How do you expect to win this now? You know, a bit like that. And I thought, mate, you deserve to be bought off. He was utter shit, Sam. And then young Rio comes on, right? Rio Engamoa, who I think... he's 17, right? 17. So... let's ease him in. Let's be careful with him. I understand that. But he come on and he showed more in 17 minutes than Gakpo and Salah did combined for the 75 minutes they were on. Honestly, Gakpo and Salah were utter crap. And Rio come on, played a little bit on the left wing. Then he come on to the right wing. He's the one that stands the ball up for the goal that was disallowed in the first instance. It was the disallowed goal. So Rio kind of gets down the line, beats his man. That's the first time Nico Williams had anything to do in the whole game. Like, he had Salah. Nico Williams, by the way. Nico Williams. He's all right, but he's average, isn't he? He had Salah in his pocket. Absolutely had nothing to do. Had no problem with Salah all game. Rio comes on and roasts him immediately. And sets up a goal for McAllister.
Okay.
Inverted commas goal. It was tragic, honestly, tragic.
But in FPL, the Liverpool fixtures are glorious.
Well, and that's so, true. West Ham, Wolves, Spurs, Brighton, Fulham. You're right.
They are brilliant. And they were starting with this one. And so what do we now do? Because people have Ekitike, who in the beginning of this stream you said ran around like he didn't know what he was doing.
No, he's all over the place.
Obviously, he's a hold. Can you bring him in? Should you bring him in?
Obviously, he's a hold.
Well, he has to be with the fixtures.
I wouldn't say obviously he's a hold, but I would hold him, yes, with
the
these fixtures.
The fixtures are too nice to sell. If you've got one of, if you've got a Liverpool player in your team, you have to hold them. You have to hold them.
Is he worth the money, though? That's my question. I mean, he's not cheap, is he, Ekitike? Even Verts is not cheap.
No, but Lee, the fixtures are so good. You can't, like, with... I appreciate what you're saying. I haven't watched it. Maybe when I watch it on the highlights later, I'll be like, yeah, definitely don't keep him. But in my head, this is a great set of fixtures with a team that you've got, like, surely there's desire and there's, you can still make the top four.
Of course we can. We're joined on points for top four. So if you've got Ekitike, yes, you hold. But I wouldn't be bringing him in. I'd certainly be bringing Salah in.
So who would you bring in?
Virgil van Dijk.
I did that this week. That
I
went
know
well.
You did. Well done. It went very well. And you should hold him for the next few weeks.
I plan to hold him for a long time.
Yeah. That doesn't mean that Alisson didn't have to bail us out a couple of times. Did. And Forrest played pretty well.
It seemed like Forrest Alisson played well. But is Virgil the only one? Because this fixture run...
I still think if you're looking to lose Enzo...
Do you still think Szoboszlai?
I still think Szoboszlai's up there
as
an option. I do.
Okay,
now,
how was he today?
Well, he played at right back for most of the game, didn't he?
Why?
So what happened? Right, picture the scene. Me and you in the living room and the Liverpool team gets announced and Szoboszlai's at right back. What do I say to you? What would I say to you? I'd say something along the lines of, this is going to go shit, Sam, because he's our best player and he's at right back. Why is Slot doing that again?
Yeah.
And for an hour while he played at right back, guess what happened?
You were rubbish.
It was crap.
Yeah.
So then he changed it up and he put Gomez there, who is not the best right back in the world. But as I always say, and I say this every Sunday we play supporters at right back, you could put the dinner lady at right back. I don't care. You put the best player in our team in the middle of the park, which he did, and we played marginally better. And when he plays there, he's good. And he's got more goal involvements than Verts this season.
But this is my problem with Dom Szoboszlai, is that I don't want to pay.
He's not that expensive.
I don't care. I don't want to pay that much for a midfielder
playing
out of position in defence.
He still takes all the free kicks. Still takes some corners.
Sure, but if
over this run of the next five that we just said there, West Ham, Wolves, Spurs, Brighton, Fulham, he will shit out some points. He will Declan Rice some points over that five weeks. There'll be a free kick or there'll be a, I don't know, that like, even the winning goal, right, is his cross to Virgil. Now, Virgil does the right thing, which is head it down into the danger zone. But Virgil, on another day, could have had an effort at goal there. But it's his cross. He's still getting the ball in areas, in sort of Trent-like areas, and picking passes into boxes. I think... the whole community is looking at Verts, and I get it, right? I get it, because...
Well, we might not be able to look at Verts now.
Well, so there's that, but also going from Enzo to Verts is a few quid, isn't it? You've got to find a bit of money. And if you haven't got it, here to tell you that Enzo to Szoboszlai is okay.
Yeah, because Enzo is 6.9 currently. The Liverpool assets, depending upon obviously which one you want to go to...
If you've got Ekitike and Virgil, you hold. That's fine.
Verts is 8.4, so you've got to find a significant amount. But Szoboszlai is 6.8, so it's you know, you can go across there. The problem I've got is that you just told me that Liverpool didn't look great without Verts. Szoboszlai was playing at right back. Over these fixtures, if Verts is out, are we still going to see this Liverpool team that runs around like headless chickens? Because you rightly said West Ham played well against Bournemouth and have been playing well over the last few weeks. They have been one of the form teams in the Premier League.
They could get something out of us.
Like, there's... So that game on paper is fantastic. In reality, is it as good as it looks on paper? Well, maybe not. So if Verts is out for that West Ham game, what does that actually mean for us in FPL? Should we be investing in somebody like Dominic Szoboszlai? Or actually, should we just go, well, do you know what? Virgil seems like the right option. I'll get Virgil, probably for one of the Arsenal defenders, because they're not keeping as many clean sheets. Oh, and hey, there's a blank coming up.
Oh, timber to Virgil, if you haven't done it already, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
So that's fine. But then, but should we? Because my plan this week was to double up. It was to double up on, by taking out Enzo and Rice, was to double up on the Liverpool attack, or on Liverpool, by having Virgil and then adding Verts back into the mix. Because I do miss owning Florian Verts. I've got a little bit of a love affair going on with him at the minute. But obviously, if he's out, I'm going to now have to wait. I'm not going to have to do that straight away. It's going to have to be a wait and see. I'm going to have to decide what to do with Enzo in the meantime, because he's probably going to drop in price before I get to the point where I know what's going on with Florian Wirtz. Because we're not, unfortunately, going to be in a place where we've got another press conference from Slot, because you haven't got a midweek game that we can kind of cling to and go, well, I might hear on Tuesday night ahead of a Champions League or whatever.
I don't want to put anybody off Wirtz. If he's fit, he's a good pick. I'm just saying, I think if you haven't got the money to go to Wirtz, or you're not entirely sure about him, or the injury's putting you off, I think Szoboszlai's a fine pick. If you've just got one free transfer and you desperately want to get rid of Enzo
or Rice,
or Declan Rice, I think Szoboszlai is a fine pick.
Okay.
Honestly do.
Forrest?
Yeah, improved. Anderson? Yeah, improved. Yeah.
Where was Anderson playing?
In a more advanced role, actually.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah,
in a more advanced role. So, yes, he was still doing a lot of the DEFCON stuff.
Yeah.
So, and I think I'm almost certainly got it again. Chat, you can tell me. I saw a tweet saying that's like his 12th consecutive DEFCON or something ridiculous. So, he's still doing all the Anderson stuff.
Yeah, he's got 19 of them.
Mad. Absolutely mad. So he's still DEFCON monstering it up, but he was in slightly advanced positions. He did take a couple of shots on today. There's one that whistled past the post that Alisson was watching, right? So,
okay.
Yeah, they were much improved. I think if I was a Forest fan and I was coming off the back of beating Fenerbahce in Europe and then saw this performance, like, I'd be pretty stoked for that. I think that's two pretty good. But they were robbed here. Let's not beat around the bush. They were robbed. We did not deserve to win. And I don't even think we deserved to draw. I would say Forrest deserved it. If Forrest had got that last minute winner, I'd obviously be very pissed off. But you couldn't have begrudged them here. In fact, when the McAllister handball's given, like, obviously I've gone mental. Like, it's gone in off his ass as far as I'm concerned. I'm like, brilliant. We've absolutely fluked a win here. We fluked one. Beautiful. You know, how many games have gone against us this season? Here we go, Liverpool fan. Oh, sob story. How many VARs gone against us? We're going to get one here. Oh, brilliant. God. Off of McAllister's backside for a 1-0 smash and grab. Perfect.
But it didn't come off his bum. It came off his elbow.
And then apparently it comes off his elbow. What's he supposed to do? Like, what genuinely supposed to do? I know it's the rules. I know. Before you come at me, I know it's the rules. It hits his elbow. Therefore, doesn't matter whether it's deliberate or not, it's handball. I understand that. But it's still complete bollocks. So I'm thinking it's a goal. I've gone crazy. We've gone 1-0. And then VAR rules it out. And I'm effing and jeffing about VAR, aren't I? Of course. But
I'm glad I wasn't with you today.
Once I've got over that initial 10 seconds of we've been screwed by VAR again, I was like, actually, in the cold light of day, that feels a bit of justice, to be honest with you, because we did not deserve to win that at all. So then when Macca obviously pops up with the win, I've gone mad again. And then VAR tried to do us out of that one as well.
Why? What's wrong with that one?
You've not seen this, obviously, because you've been out and about. No, but I'm telling you, so there was a VAR check for whether Van Dijk was offside for the header.
Right. Was he?
Draw as many lines as you want. I don't think there's conclusive evidence that Van Dijk was onside, put it that way. In fact, in the cold light of day, some of the images look, he's very offside. But the semi-automated says that he was on, so I'll take it. It's fine.
Well, I'll take it because he got me some points. But
correct. But yeah, correct. But listen, I think, you know, that was lucky. It was everything about that was lucky.
Really?
Anyway, let's move it on. But Forrest, yes, improved.
So hold Anderson if you've got him. Would you buy Anderson?
Would I buy Anderson? Let's have a look at their fixtures, Forrest. Are they going to get out of this? Brighton away, Man City away. Good Lord. Fulham. Then the big game against Spurs, the relegation 6-pointer in game week 31.
For fuck's sake.
And then Villa at home in 32. Would I buy Anderson? I don't think I would still. I don't think I would. But that's because, unlike I was called on Sky on Saturday morning, I'm not a boring FPL manager.
Oh, you are boring.
I'm not boring.
Oh, leave from FPL family. Not. You are boring. The fact
I'd
that
have
you...
Anderson if I was boring.
Leave. You, the fact that you moved the captaincy armband from Joao Pedro to Haaland because you are an absolute wimp and boring as hell.
Get the finger coming
out. You are boring. You are... Hayley McQueen was 100% correct. You are boring.
She could call me boring, didn't she?
No, she didn't call you boring. She called you boring. boring.
Okay.
And you were.
Well, this boring manager is quite a lot higher than you in FPL.
Still
right,
a boring
let's
bastard.
Go to Saturday. George is in the chat. He's not going to enjoy this one. Brentford 0, Brighton 2.
George!
What happened, mate?
George, what happened? What happened? Are my points?
What happened? I genuinely would love to know your thoughts on this, George. He did put a couple of comments in the Slack over the weekend. He said that they weren't good. As usual, George goes every game to Brentford, right?
George and said
they,
that...
At home, and they were not good.
To be fair to George, I'll call him out when he's wrong, but before the game even kicked off, when the team sheet came out, and your Michael Coyote state your case, that went well, when Michael Coyote wasn't in the squad, George said, we won't win this game.
Well, see, George is in the chat now. He says, no Coyote, no yeah. Coyote. That was it. It can't be. It's got to be more to it than that.
George said before the game even kicked off that they would not win the game without him. And
wow.
Alas, they did
wow.
not.
Okay. All right.
So maybe he is...
Well, I did
more important than just the long throw-in.
Well, I did mention on Sky when we went there, he was my differential for the week, Michael Coyote, because there was no... There
to
was
be fair,
nothing
it wasn't just
the...
for the week. It was for the next few weeks. So if he comes back next week...
Okay, thanks.
You might get away with it.
Thanks, I'll take it.
Yeah. Mine didn't do well either.
But when I was doing that state your case, I was talking about the fact that he's got more final third touches than any Brentford player.
Yeah.
He's created the second most amount of chances after Damsgaard.
He progresses the ball well.
So he is important to them. So George is absolutely right. And why wouldn't he be? He watches these guys week in, week out. He is important, but I just struggle to believe he's that important that they would lose 2-0 to, let's face it, a struggling Brighton side.
And make Brighton actually look good.
And make Brighton look good. Zeitgall and a few others in the chat saying Thiago missed a few. You know, maybe there's a bit of XG underperformance there from Thiago. Their fixtures continue to look all right, though, right? Burnley up next, right? So if you've got them, you're not selling, right? And then Bournemouth away, Wolves at home, Leeds away, Everton at home. So they're playing against, you know, bottom of the half, bottom of the sides, bottom of the table is what I mean. bottom half of the table sides over the next five, including actually playing in 31, unlike a few others. So, listen, I didn't buy Thiago just for game week 27. I bought him for this next little run here. How would you feel about Dango Atara, Sharda, even Coyote if he was to come back next week, which I assume he will? How do you feel about your Brentford assets?
Well, Sharda was benched, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then came off the bench. He chose to stick with Lewis Potter.
Yeah. He likes Lewis Potter, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Mm. I prefer Sharda, but, you know, I'm not Keith Andrews. It's up to him who he starts. I still think that the Brentford fixtures are there to invest in.
Don't turn into a crap team overnight. And we've got to expect... If Coyote is the main reason they lost this game...
What was
he's
wrong
not,
with him?
I don't know.
Is he ill or is he injured?
I don't know. George will tell us, right? But if he's back next week, then you've got to assume that they're going to go away and smash Burnley, won't they? I mean, despite Burnley getting a point at Chelsea, you'd back Brentford, wouldn't you?
You would back
Brentford. You're not going to sell... the chat's asking, is Thiago a buy? I still think he is.
I would still buy.
I still think he is. I don't know about the others. I if you've got Atara, I don't think you're selling, are you? But is he a buy now, him and Sharda and others?
Well, it depends, doesn't it? Because if you're looking for... If Wirtz is ruled fit and you want to take money out of Rice to upgrade Enzo to Wirtz, I still think Dango's fine.
Yeah, George is saying Cody was a precaution. He's also saying that he fancies Sharda to start at Burnley because they were so much better when he came on.
I thought you looked better when Sharda came. But I always think I'm a little bit biased because I really like Sharda. He's one of my...
Why?
He's one of my weirdly favourite Premier League players that I can't really tell you why. But when I watch him... Do you know when I have one of these players from other teams, I just decide I really like them.
Yeah.
Sharda's just got something about him. I love the way he plays. I like what he does when he's on the football pitch.
All right.
And I really like owning him in FPL. So he is one that I'm looking at because I think majority of people will go for Dango over him. But I like Sharda as an option. But I obviously was put off that at the weekend. Like one of the reasons I didn't use the extra transfers this week that I had to change up my midfield was because I didn't know the Dango versus Sharda thing felt too difficult to call. This one kind of helped a little bit, I think, because Dango gets the start and Sharda doesn't. But then I agree with what George has just said. Watching the highlights, when Sharda comes on, Brentford look a lot better. I would assume, therefore, that Sharda's going to start against Burnley. And if he does, he's a really nice differential to have.
Right, okay. And Brighton, from their perspective, I mean, we've got to give a shout out to Millie, haven't we? James Milner. So is that 600? That, how dare you? How dare you roll your eyes and sigh like that? James Milner, 654 appearances, the most of any Premier League player ever. A legend, a club legend at Liverpool and a lot of other clubs. And you've just sighed. Where are you going? You've sighed and rolled your eyes. Disgraceful. Disgraceful. Are you going to show the picture? Yeah, you can if you want. You can if you want. I don't really like that jacket, but there it is. Me meeting the man, the legend, Millie, from a few years ago when he got his, I think he's, I think that must have been 500 or maybe 600, maybe 600.
Which one you don't like this jacket?
Don't like that jacket, but anyway.
You and Milner.
Chat saying Sam's had enough. James Milner was the tipping point. She's gone.
I'll put him back up on my wall.
He is the nicest guy in football.
He's
and
up on the wall. No. This is the nicest guy in football.
Oh, do we have to have a whole photos? Yeah, I met him and all. He is a nice guy, Sonny. Could do with him at the minute, couldn't you?
Yeah. Do you know what I really want?
Oh,
this one. Can I have him back?
You do. You definitely want him back. You 100% want him back. I'll tell you that much. Oh. Good Lord. I thought Colo Muani played well today, but bloody hell. Yeah, you take.
He's no Harry Kane.
You take Harry back in an
right,
absolute
hang on,
heartbeat.
I've got to get back in the chair now.
All right, go on then. So, yes.
I haven't got any more pictures to show you all. That's enough for show and tell.
Despite you, Louise is saying, are they Photoshopped? No, Louise, they're not.
They're genuine. Not.
No, no. I was very lucky to have a job in one of my previous places of work where I got to meet these guys.
You went to give them their awards, didn't you? When
yes.
They won a milestone award, Lee would
yeah,
go and present
milestone
it.
Appearances. I would be part of the team of the sponsorship, the company that sponsored them. So, yes. So, James Milner. 654 appearances, sensational stuff. Brighton, though, are they back? I mean, where did this come from? No one saw the Brighton 2-0 win here, did they?
No, but we all know that it was only because Michael Coyote wasn't playing. If Michael Coyote was playing, they'd got smashed up.
Well, they've got Forrest up next, and we've just seen Forrest. We've just talked about how Forrest are potentially back. Then it's Arsenal, then Sunderland away, despite losing their last two at home, Sunderland. That's still, I think, still a tough place to go. And then Liverpool in 31. So, given the mixed, let's call it, form of Brighton over the last few weeks, I don't think we're going in there.
I have a question
for you.
I don't
think so. Go on.
For Bruggen.
Yeah?
What? Are you... Because you've just said you've got so many other problems, I'm assuming that Verbruggen is not one.
Oh, that is so far down my list of priorities, a goalkeeper transfer.
Should have told us. Why didn't you tell us that?
Well, I can't believe he did it, to be honest with you. He's got... Surely, with his team, he's got something better to do than Verbruggen to Kelleher. I mean, surely there's
well,
something better to do.
He nearly captained Thiago as well, didn't he, against him? So it was a good job he didn't
absolute
do that.
Absolute nonsense. I get the Kelleher move, but if I was going to go in Brentford defence, weirdly, I'd have gone Coyote, which wouldn't have gone well this week. So anyway, I don't think we're investing in Brighton. Let's move it on, Sam, because we've covered three games and it's been like an hour. Man City 2, Newcastle 1. I think we saw a slightly different side of Man City here, right? They ground this out. There was grit and determination and blood, sweat and tears gone into this one, but the flowers have to go to Nico O'Reilly. There's a few in the chat just as we were logging on and going live on the live stream that quite liked their title on the thumbnail today. Blimey O'Reilly.
That was your shot.
That was me. I'd take that one. But yeah, the young man doing well, let's be honest, he's doing himself no harm whatsoever, putting himself potentially in the frame for the plane at in the summer.
Can I just say, I think you've done him an entirely big disservice there, because not only do I think he should be on the plane, I would argue that if he continues to perform like this, he should start in the World Cup for England. I think he is actually, at the moment, the best player we've got in that position. There you are. I've said it.
Well, careful with that. But listen,
I think he's fantastic at the minute. And do you know what's really interesting about him is that it's come at a time where a lot of people have sold him.
Did Danny bought in him and Van Dijk this week. Danny, fair play,
well
mate.
Well done, Danny.
I didn't know that, mate. Well done. Very good.
It's come at a time where a lot of people have sold him. Because there's a blank coming up, probably. And it's come at a time where also he wasn't really performing, and Gaye went there and people were kind of like, well, we'll go, maybe go there.
Ait Nouri was back from AFCON.
All that narrative was playing out. Over the next 3 weeks, he is going to be a player, despite Danny, that most managers will not invest in. And it's not going to be because they don't want to. It's going to be because either they've already got the triple up in Manchester City like I have.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's going to be because they are like you and have so many issues to deal with anyway that adding another Man City asset in is just not going to be the one.
Do you think this is a bit of a blind spot, though, for engaged FPL managers? Because the casual manager won't have an eye on 31. They won't. Maybe. They won't see it as a blank, and they'll just go, "Well, he's got 17 points. I'll get him."
Maybe, but I think what it has done for me is, in my head, one of the things that I had kind of started to rule in was playing through 31 with 10.
Mm.
Because in my head, I thought, well, at some stage over the next few weeks, if City blank in 31, they're going to have a double game week, and I'm going to want my three Manchester City assets. So. And I'm also going to want to keep Gabriel. So therefore, why don't I just keep my three City assets and Gabriel and play through? However, what Nico O'Reilly has done over the last couple of weeks has just made me reconsider the back line. Because one, if I was to sell Gahey, I could have a full 11 out for game week 31. And going into 32 with my transfers, I could save some money and have Nico O'Reilly for a potential double game week for Manchester City. Which doesn't feel like a downgrade with the way that O'Reilly's playing in the minute. In fact, it feels like an upgrade considering where Nico O'Reilly is playing on the pitch.
100%.
So I think what it will do is it'll just make people reassess. Either it'll make people think, oh, I'll do it now, and maybe I'm free hitting in 31. And if that's your plan, do it now.
But you, so, and again, here's the difference between you and a lot of others, including me, is that you're thinking, well, if I get him, then I've got to think about benching him or play with 10 in 31, but at least then I've got him for after. Whereas I'm thinking, I ain't getting him because he'll be on my wild card in 32.
Right.
So if I'm sitting there with a wild card, I'm almost certainly not getting him between now and 31. I'll get him in 32. Yeah, sure, bring him in a wild card if he's still box crashing from an 8-10 position. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's great.
But having played the wild card, there's a bit of an advantage maybe that you have by saying, well, I'll get him now. All right, I've got a problem to deal with in 31, but I've got the transfers to deal with that. And then I've got him in place for 32 and the double whenever that comes.
Mm.
So that's a bit of an advantage, I think, that what people that have played their wild card have over us that haven't. It's because us that haven't will be like, well, he comes in 32.
Mm.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Look, I just think it's really interesting because over the next 3 weeks, what people decide to do with Manchester City and Arsenal in particular is going to be quite telling.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I don't know if, for those of you that watch this game, he's in obscene positions.
He nearly hat-tricks. Nearly scores a hat-trick. There's another opportunity where he box crashes. And we both went, not again! And it goes wide, I think. I think it just went wide. Or he missed it, I think.
But just his positioning in open play.
But he's there.
Like, Haaland's dropping and being a bit more creative lately. And he's the one, like, bombing on. It's like, what the hell?
It's great.
It's absolutely mad. The one thing, just as a sort of a mini aside, I don't want to go too off at a tangent because I'm quite good at that.
No.
I don't like it so much for, in particular, Semenyo, but also for Haaland when Mamouche plays.
No.
Mamouche is a greedy player. He likes a shot. There was a few, I don't know, City fans or those that watch this game, tell me if you think differently. But there was a couple of moments in the game I noticed when Mamouche picked it up in nice central areas and the runs were there.
Yeah.
Semenya was making the run. Haaland was peeling off. But he chose not to and he has a shot.
Mm.
Now, 1 in 5, 6, 7, 8 shots will go in and it's like, oh, Mamouche, what a shot. Brilliant goal. But I'm telling you, I think that's one of the reasons Pep hauls him off early because he's just like, fucking hell, mate. Just play in Semenya. He's right there. And as a Semenya captainer from your perspective and as a Haaland captainer for me this week, there was a few opportunities I thought for points when Mamouche just took a shot when he should have played a pass.
It was frustrating. I went different with my captaincy this week and in the end I thought it was going to be 1 point different or two with the captaincy. In the end it wasn't. It was two, so four with the captaincy between Haaland and Semenya. It was really frustrating because there were a number of moments late on where I could not believe that Semenya hadn't got anything. It got DEFCON, but that he hadn't got anything from an attack perspective in this game. It was entirely infuriating. But I think you're right. I think Marmoush's involvement in that game did have an impact. It had an impact on his position.
Yeah.
It had an impact on what he was doing, because there were a number of times where he made the run, and there was one in particular I remember, and Semenya makes a gorgeous run off and it's
he
like just
peels.
feed him, he's right there and he takes the shot, and Haaland does the same on the other side. It doesn't really matter which one he goes to, feed either of them and it's a goal. Instead he takes the harder shot and it doesn't go in, and it's difficult and frustrating.
How do you feel about the big man then? I mean, it feels a bit like a non-question for Haaland because we don't really need the money. Had Salah done something this week, we'd all be going
or Palmer
maybe, we'd all be going okay. But because we don't need to, none of us are really looking at Haaland. But in a team that is now clearly not geared entirely around getting him goals. Like, if you go back to last season, season before, the whole setup, everything was about feed Erling and he will score.
Yeah.
This team is, well, if you get it to Marmoush, he'll shoot. Semenyo is there to take the goal burden away from Haaland. Cherky will chip in, right? It's not all about Haaland anymore. Nope. And here he is chipping in with another assist. And as captaincy, I think he gets a bonus point as well in this game. So, listen, we'll take those points, I guess, in a week where we're pretty low scoring anyway. We'll take it, I suppose, as a Haaland captainer. But I'm telling you, this team now is not entirely geared around getting Haaland goals. Will he still get goals? Yes, of course. And he takes a penalty. So I'm not thinking of selling him at any stage.
No.
But if any of you out there have got a strategy to sell him because there's stuff you want to do with that money or there's something else you want to do in that forward line, I don't hate it. It's brave still because of the ownership, but I don't hate it.
The one thing I will say is that as a non-Haaland captainer this week...
Yeah, how did you... Yeah, go on then.
It wasn't comfy.
It still didn't feel comfy.
No.
That's an ownership thing though, isn't it? Not what you're watching.
Yeah, it is. Because... Well, even when I was watching it, like there were, particularly towards the back end of that game, when Marmoush goes off, there were a number of opportunities where Haaland, and I'm like, no, not Haaland, anyone else. And it was fine in the end. But I am acutely aware that I took a risk. It's backfired because Semenyo had to outscore Haaland for this to work. And he doesn't.
He could so easily if Marmoush plays him in a couple of times.
But it's one of those where it has had a detrimental impact on my rank by not captaining Haaland this week.
Mm.
And that is enough to make me not... I'm trying to gain rank here. I'm not trying to tank my rank further.
Yeah.
And it feels like if you take out somebody that's owned by... I mean, I think it's 68% now, but 68% is significant. And you take that person out of your team when they are fighting for the title, because let's be honest, this title race is not over, despite what Arsenal fans and everyone else might want you to believe. It's not over. It's very much an open race. Yes, Arsenal are ahead at the moment, but they have played a game more. So we do have that to consider.
Okay.
And there's a massive game where they play each other in game week 33. So this is a team that is focused and driven. And there was fight about Man City and there was grit about Man City in this one. Like, they went out there to prove a point, didn't they?
I understand all of that, but...
I would not take out Haaland.
I wouldn't either, but I also wouldn't put anybody off it.
But where are you going to go?
Well, I've just spent 5 minutes talking about that. The fact that we don't need to means we won't.
No, it's not even the money.
You can.
But it's not even the money, is it? It's like, look up, when you look at the front line, where you've just said, Ekitike ran around like a headless chicken. All right, you could still go there. Thiago, yes, I think you still go there, but there was a whole conversation yesterday about whether you should bother. João Pedro's fixtures are about to swing. Ollie Watkins is pointless.
Jacare's blanks.
Well, he didn't today.
Oh, in 31.
Blanks in 31. I thought you meant just generally he blanks. So I was like, well,
he was
excellent
today.
He was good today. But he blanks in 31. Who else? Where else? Who? Like,
yeah, I get it. Yeah, I get it.
Like,
I get
there's
it,
not
it.
Even three.
Yeah,
so...
I get it. But listen, even next week, you're not captaining him, are you? You're going to do Bruno against Palace, surely. Surely that's what we're all doing.
I can't remember what my bus team is
well,
on.
We'll talk about that later on. So, Newcastle? Anything to say?
Actually, better than I thought they would be. After midweek, I thought that midweek might tire them out more than it. I know that they won, great result, but I thought going to Azerbaijan and back might have been a bit more, had a bit more of an impact. Nick Pope's at fault, I think, for the first goal. I think he should do better.
All right.
I'm not getting any Newcastle players. I think without, when they don't have Joe, they didn't have Joe Linton starting, they don't have Guimarães, they don't look as good without them.
Linton is such a fug, man.
Yeah,
honestly.
I know he is.
He came on and made like three fouls in 30 seconds and then got booked on the fourth a minute later. It's just like, mate.
But I don't think Anthony Gordon and players like that are worth the money. So for me...
All right.
No.
No. All right. We'll move it on then. Go on then. Let's do yours. Spurs 1, Arsenal 4.
Well, have we not done it?
Well, we did a bit at the beginning about how you felt about the game. We didn't do much about Arsenal, though.
We'll talk about Spurs,
but go on, do Arsenal.
Defensively, I We had moments. Like, we score, obviously. But there's other moments in this game where we could have easily scored. I do think defensively they are wobbling a little bit. I don't think you need the double up defensively anymore. If you got the double up, I think you can definitely afford to sell, especially given you have the blank coming up in game week 31.
There's individual errors in that Arsenal back line.
It's an error from Rice today.
Yeah, that was mad, that, wasn't it? Because when they scored the first goal... Obviously, you know, they're all crowding Eze and are celebrating and stuff. But then Rice gets them in a mini huddle.
Yeah.
He gets them in a mini huddle right in front of where I assume you guys were in the south.
Yeah.
And
a lot of elastic bands got pinged.
I can imagine. And he's there. And Rice is telling them all, right, calm down. Constantly, he's giving it back to that. Concentrate. Yeah. And he's doing that. And he's saying, right, because he knows it's a big game. He knows. So for him then to go and make the mistake that leads to the Colomani goal, it was definitely giving me... Gerard, this does not slip vibes. Do you know what I mean? It was giving me that sort of energy.
Oh, really?
But listen, they went on and won 4-1, so in the end, that will be forgotten. But Arsenal don't look like the Arsenal that were there defensively, certainly a few weeks ago. Attacking wise, they look great still, right? And I think Saka got a couple of assists.
Even today, like, so yeah, I agree with what you just said defensively. I don't think that they look as good. I mean, Timber gets an assist today, but then gets taken off on like 56 minutes.
Weirdest three pointer ever for Timber, wasn't it? Because he got booked as well.
Yeah, starts the game, gets booked, goes off early, gets an assist. Okay, fine. It's a three pointer. I think he's an easy sell still. Despite that assist, I think he is an easy sell.
Mm.
Gabriel,
because it's an assist, but it's like...
It's not really.
The Jacare's goal is a worldie, isn't it? It's a great strike.
It's just a pass. It's not a great assist. It's just a pass. Gabriel, I still think, is a hold. I think Gabriel is a hold. He's a threat from set pieces. Yeah. Like, every time they got a corner, particularly in the first half, every time they got a corner, obviously it was right in front of me. And I was just like, I feel really uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel very uncomfortable about this. And he's a threat. So yeah. I think he's a hold. The rest of them, though, it's really interesting, isn't it? Because, like, I was impressed by Gyökeres today, but I haven't been over the last few weeks.
He turned up today, no doubt. He was fantastic.
He was. Eze, great today, but he was great against us when we went to the Emirates. But in other games this season, he's either not started or just been...
Well, they were saying on Sky, he's not had a shot on target.
Yeah.
Since he scored that final goal against you last time.
Last time, yeah. So, those two were the two standout performances for me today, watching it from the stadium, from the Arsenal team. Those two were the best two. But they're not, I wouldn't invest in them from an FPL perspective.
Yeah,
even if
there.
They weren't blanking, I still wouldn't go there.
Yeah, all right.
Saka and Rice are more interesting because they're the more heavily owned assets. Saka was decent enough today. Rice was fine. He got DEFCON. I don't know. Like, I think, are they immediate sells? No. By the time you get to game week 31, given the two fixtures that follow the blank in 31, you probably will. Like, I will sell Rice. And if I had Saka, I would sell Saka.
Okay.
But I don't think you necessarily have to do it today or this week.
All right. Okay, very good. And for a bit of Spurs chat, you can rewind to the beginning of the pod where we spoke about Spurs. What else, Sam? What else? I mean, from an FPL perspective, a very quick shout out to Anton Stack because that's an unbelievable goal. Anton Stack, what a strike. If you had Stack in your team, I mean, you're out your chair for that one. That was an unbelievable strike. If you've not seen it, go and have a look at Anton Stack's goal at Villa Park this weekend. Tammy popping up with another one. Low-key just making himself... He's just there, isn't he? On the FPL radar, he's just...
When does Ollie Watkins get dropped for him?
Well... What, you mean in terms of starts?
Mm.
Well, soon, I'd imagine, based on what we're seeing.
Yeah.
Soon. I mean...
And if he does, is he a more interesting pick than Morgan Rodgers?
Well, so that's the question, I think,
because
we've all
I
really
am
got,
telling
what
you...
What do you want to do with him? With Morgan?
What, Morgan...
Yeah. You want to bin him off, don't you?
I have wanted to bin off Morgan Rodgers
for
weeks.
For who?
But the problem... Well, so this is the problem, Lee. Because for weeks now, I'm actually really... Every time I hear his name, it makes me angry.
Why?
Because he's been so utterly terrible for me. I appreciate there was a week a couple of weeks ago we got that 10-point haul.
Yeah. You're whinging about.
Because for the rest of the time, he's taken up a space in my team and he's utter guff. And I just want him out of my life and not to see his face anymore.
Wow.
But because it's so damn infuriating.
And yet,
the fixtures are so nice. And it's one of those traps that I said this 4 weeks ago on a Q&A with Az. I'm going to fall in an Ollie Watkins trap because I don't want to own him. Everyone else is investing in him. And I don't want to...
Who's getting Watkins?
Rogers. He's been increasingly getting more and more ownership. I don't want him. Why are people buying him? He's utter guff. But the fixtures are nice. So I have to stay invested because the fixtures are nice and everyone's invested. Oh my God.
Why are you so chirpy about Spurs and like this vitriol for Morgan Rogers? Where's this coming from?
I'm not really. But I've not said I'm going to get any Spurs players in FPL, have I?
No, not at all. But not yet. I'm sure they're coming.
Well, I've still got...
You've got Van de Ven, haven't you?
Yeah, but he just sits there looking pretty on my bench. That's what he's there for. until I need a bench boost. Morgan Rogers is infuriating. He is an infuriating FPL asset to own.
Well, look, it's Wolves, Chelsea, Man United, and most importantly, West Ham at home in 31. So I, for one, given the amount of problems I've got, won't be selling him. It sounds as if you are bidding him off tonight.
I can't sell him because he plays in 31 and he's got good fixtures.
Okay, good.
Does anyone else feel like this about what? Is it just me?
Just you feels this way about Morgan Rogers. I'm fine. I'm a little bit frustrated, but like he gets every now and again, pops up with an 8 or 10 pointer.
Every now and then's not bloody good enough. He's my third midfielder.
Ah, Lord above. Anyway, let's move it on.
Oh, despise of him.
Morgan Rogers is fine. He can sit there.
Somebody tell him. Somebody send him a message and tell him, please, he owes us a lot of FPL points.
Last couple of games, Sam. How on earth, I need to go back to here, did West Ham not beat Bournemouth at the weekend? How on earth?
Do you know what? I thought that this game was going to be anything but a 0-0 draw. In my head, going into this weekend, and in fact, we had a chat with Clinton Morrison about this game, didn't we? And I said, no, I think Bournemouth could get something out of this game. But I didn't think it would be a 0-0 draw. I expected some sort of chaos goal scoring because both sides defensively have had a lot to kind of... there's been some question marks. That's put nicely.
I mean, I bought James Hill in this week. That was my timber sacrifice so that I could afford Thiago as I got James Hill in this week.
That went well.
Well, I'm thinking, I go into this game, I'm thinking, well, he's going to get the four, won't he? Because he always gets the DEFCON. So he's definitely going to get the four.
He didn't, though, did he, this week?
And what happens? He gets a clean sheet and no DEFCON.
Well, you take it because you've got six.
And not only that, but I'm not sure that he was even that close. Yeah, look, if you scroll down a little bit here, 7 he got. So he wasn't even that close to the defensive contribution. So I don't know what the difference was in this game between this game and other games. But listen, I will absolutely take the 6 and run because, yeah, West Ham battered them.
Well,
battered them.
I benched Senesi this week on the basis that I thought West Ham would score because West Ham had been great going forward.
Yeah. Anybody you hate in this game? Anybody that you'd want to take out?
No, I really like Senesi. I think he's nice. I like James Hill as well. In fact, I really like Jared Bowen as well. So there's a lot of... And do you know who I really like? Somerville. I think he is a top... In fact, I'd rather have him than bloody Morgan Rogers.
Oh, poor old Morgan.
No, don't poor old Morgan.
Poor old Morgan.
He owes me a massive return. And absolutely, in fact, he should send me a bunch of flowers in the post.
Right, Morgan to Somerville then. You're doing that, are you?
Well, no, because have you seen the West Ham fixtures?
I haven't. I haven't even considered them, to be honest with you. I think we're playing them next, aren't we? So West Ham, Liverpool, and then Fulham away, Manchester City at home, Villa away, and then Wolves at home. They've got to get something, right? But they're the ones under pressure. They're the ones without the points in the bank in the relegation battle.
Maybe when he plays Morgan Rogers, I'll swap him. Let's swap them over.
Well, I mean, Liverpool away, Fulham away, Villa away is three of their next four. That doesn't strike me as, like, despite the fact that they've looked a little bit better.
They have.
No doubt they've looked better. And they should have won this game at the weekend against Bournemouth. Doesn't strike me as a bunch of fixtures where I want to invest in West Ham.
No.
And they need points before they get to 32 and the game starts to turn a little bit better. They're going to need points because over the next 4 weeks, Forest will get points. You'll get points as well. So West Ham do need to buck their ideas up, no doubt about it. Bournemouth, though, holding on to them.
Yeah.
Senesi, you'll hold.
I've got Senesi.
Ryan, Kruppi. You've got Kruppi, right?
I've got Kruppi. I was really reluctantly benching Kruppi this week. And in the end, he didn't get anything, so it was okay.
Mm.
I really like Ryan. Now, that is a quality player.
I tell you what, they've done it again, Bournemouth, haven't
they? They've done it again.
He looks sensational.
He is really good. And he... So my plan... two moves this week were to do, and for game week 28, were to do Enzo and Rice to Rayan and Wirtz. Now, obviously, I can't do that at the moment because I've got
keeping Rodgers, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, fucking Rodgers. Honestly.
That's two swears you've done today. Do you mind? Good job we don't monetize these things.
Please, could you... Right.
I'm going to have to put not safe for kids.
Could you please go back at the end of this and listen to how many times you sweared in your Liverpool chat?
That's okay. I can swear about my own team. You can't swear about Morgan Rodgers.
Oh,
like that.
I can.
No, you can't. Oh. He's not that bad,
I'm
Morgan.
I'm going to get a dartboard.
See, look, George is in. Stop with the F-bomb, Sam. Look, Sam,
George.
This is FPL family, not FPL swear at Morgan Rodgers. That's a Twitter handle. Go and get that one.
FPL
F-U Rodgers.
Oh, honestly, I'm so annoyed by him. But Rayan... I will have to keep Morgan Rodgers, yes, annoyingly.
Okay. Okay.
But look, I really like Rayan. I think he's top quality.
He almost, as the chat said, he almost scored goal of the season. Daniel Banks, you're absolutely right. He nearly did. That was unbelievable goal, wasn't it? Or would have been an unbelievable goal. That's it, Sam. That's enough guff and waffle about all of that stuff. Let's get on to the game week scores. I'll start with 46.
I've got the hiccups now.
Yeah, not bad. There's a few two-pointers in there. Enzo, Thiago, I was hoping for a bit more from. Obviously, Rodgers, who I think's great. Love him. But a bit disappointing to get the two-pointer. Heels in there with the... So really, the stars of the show, really, were the two unexpected clean sheets. I mean, talk about a bit of jam this week. Heel with the six in a game where they've got absolutely battered. And Verbruggen with the seven in a game where... In any other week, Coyote's fit, and because he's the linchpin of everything, according to George, they'd probably win that game. So
maybe if Coyote played with Morgan Rodgers, we'd be all right.
Verbruggen 7, Hill 6 is basically the story of my week. Everything else was pretty average, except for the João Pedro goal. I've got Fernandes to come, obviously, tomorrow, so we'll wait to see. But that's it. I haven't got an Embuemo or a Cunha or anybody like that. So if we get any, if
you
we
have
get anything,
Dorgu on the bench, if he randomly Dorgu's appears, there. If his agent turns up.
Dorgu's there for game week 31 more than anything. So, yeah, if we get something from Bruno, maybe the arrow turns a little bit more green. But as it is, 46 is kind of okay-ish. It's a game week rank of 3.5. It goes up about 8.5%. So I'm on now 1,570 points and the rank's 235. Yeah, I mean, it's just a fine week, isn't it? In a week where points have been hard to come by, I've seen a few horror stories out there. It's not a horror story. It's just okay. It's fine. It's above par, so I'll take it. In actual fact, when I think back to when we've live streamed, I don't know, 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, I flirted. Well, as you know, and all you guys know that track this, you know,
who you've been flirting with?
No, I've been flirting with a million. That's what I've been flirting with, a million OR.
Don't,
right?
Don't flirt
been,
with that.
Been
that's
flirting
not,
around
that's
there
not a
for
good thing to
a very
with.
Long time, and it just I was stuck there for ages, going between 900k and 1.2 for ages. And so now, having gone, taken a bit of a step up to 600, I was 600 for quite a while, and I've just chipped away at it. I think this is about my fourth or fifth green in a row, but it has been a slog. It's been real chippy away and just taking real little risks around the edges rather than doing anything too crazy. But it has meant that in doing so, I have dug myself a little bit of a hole by like keeping Semenyo, for example. A lot of content creators getting off of Semenyo because of 31. I'm keeping him there for now. Keeping my, up until this week, three Arsenal in place. I've still got Gabriel and Rice sitting there. Obviously, I had Giyu there up until this week. So those green arrows have come at some cost, and that cost is not being realised yet. But the cost will be realised in game week 31. Between now and 31, when I can't really afford to do luxury transfers like Verbruggen out to a better goalkeeper, as you suggested before. I can't really do the transfer that I want to do that everyone else will be doing, which is Enzo to somebody better. It's difficult for me to do that because a lot of my transfer thinking has to be game week 31 oriented, which is Man City out and Arsenal out, and crossing fingers that Dorgu's back. So I still am a little bit hamstrung between now and 31 with what I can do with my team based on how I've set it up. But I'm okay with it. 2-3-5 is fine
but
for this point
of
the season.
But your team doesn't look bad for next week, does it?
Well, let's have a look at it for next week.
I remember looking at it when I set the graphic up and thinking, by the way, if there's any player picture wrongs here, apologies. I did these very fast.
That looks okay.
But I think I was trying to get it all right.
Yeah, it looks all right. A lot of my game weeks tend to go with how City get on, right? With Gay, Semenyo and Haaland sitting there, the last few weeks they've done great, right? This week, not so much because it's, you know, O'Reilly was the star of the show and they conceded a goal. So that's why the game week's a bit average for me. But those three sitting in there tend to dictate how my game weeks go. I've got João Pedro against Gabriel. Don't really like that very much. You know, but Thiago sitting there against Burnley, that's fine. Rodgers against Wolves, fine. Even Hill at home to Sunderland. Sunderland just lacking a little bit of form. Maybe the season's catching up with them a little bit with two home defeats in a row. Hill is fine at home to Sunderland. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not looking at my team and thinking that's a complete, you know, car crash for next week, as you rightly say. I think the captaincy, I think most people are going to go for Bruno as well. I don't think it's going to be a week to go a bit rogue. I think Bruno's going to be, unless something happens to him tomorrow, right? I think Bruno's going to be the captaincy. So, yeah, I'm probably going to stick with it and try and roll again next week. I will try and roll because currently sitting there with 0.5 in the bank and only one free transfer, I feel like I'm in a not very flexible position and I don't like it. I'm a bit stuck with my team at the minute.
Okay.
Doesn't need a wild card, but I can foresee me being quite jealous of looking on Twitter and X and the Slack and what you're doing with your two free transfers and everyone's, oh, I'll do Enzo for this. And like, I would love to do Enzo to Szoboszlai next week. That's my team is missing Liverpool, right? And the Liverpool fixtures look good, as you've rightly said a couple of times.
Hmm.
Enzo to Szoboszlai I would like to do, but it's a luxury I probably can't afford. Probably.
Because you've got one transfer going into 28. So you're going to have 29, 30, 31. You're going to have basically four transfers, aren't you?
Yeah.
To get your team ready for 31.
Yeah.
And you've got Gabriel, Rice, Semenyo, Haaland.
Gaye.
And Gaye.
And maybe Dorgu.
And maybe Dorgu. Mm. So you've got five transfers to deal with five players in the hope that Dorgu is fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. So I don't really have a lot of room to move and do anything too sexy.
You can't. You have to keep Enzo, I'm afraid. And Morgan Rodgers, you have to keep Morgan Rodgers.
I mean, listen, I've not taken a hit all season. It could be, I could take some hits. Right, I could do.
Oh, you could take some hits. But does that team really need some hits?
Well, but the other thing is, okay, well, Enzo to Szoboszlai next week. You put Szoboszlai in that team. Who drops out? I mean, João Pedro away at Arsenal?
No, you still have to play João Pedro.
Don't mind João Pedro away at Arsenal. Yeah. I don't mind it. I don't love it, but I don't mind it. What, Rice at home to Chelsea? Well, no, I don't mind playing that either. So, you know, could I do that transfer? Yes. But then Enzo away at Arsenal feels like quite an easy bench next week.
Yeah.
And Tarko, goodness me, I don't know if he's ever going to get back in my 11 again. So, yeah, the team...
He will in 31 because you'll have to have him.
He'll have to play. Yeah, he'll have to play. It doesn't need surgery, but it also, I'm in quite an inflexible position. I think it's going to affect my rank maybe over the next couple of weeks, but we'll see. We'll see. Let's talk about your score then. Bruno still to go as well, but 40 this week. 40.
Saved a bit by Virgil, to be honest. Difficult week. And weirdly and unexpectedly difficult week. I liked my team for this week. And I was like, actually, I think we feel like we're quite well set up. I had four free transfers going into it. And I thought, well, I'll use two. I'll get Thiago. He's bound to do well. And I got Virgil. So those were my two transfers in this week. The Virgil one pays off massively. Even if he doesn't get that assist last minute, he's got the clean sheet. He gets some bonus. We're happy. Disappointed with Roofs, to be honest. Again, I was expecting way more.
He didn't even mention the Mukiele injury. You see that?
Mukiele got injured today. Oh, dear.
He went off about 20, 25 minutes in first half. So
might explain why they conceded twice.
For sure, it'll have an impact, right? But yeah, Mukiele, of course, you know, as heavily owned, if not more so than Roofs.
Yeah, I mean, and to be honest, Roofs is there because in the home fixtures, he's fantastic. Has been fantastic.
Has been, yeah.
And that's two home fixtures now where he's not kept the clean sheets back to back and they've not won the game. And it feels like a bit of a frustration, but I'm not doing anything about that. He plays in 31 and that's fine.
It's a pretty, it's a close game week, isn't it? Look, if you look at my score, so what did I get? I got
46
and I'm at 3.5 for the game week. Whereas you're on only 6 points less and it's 6.4.
So it's very tight.
It doesn't feel like there's a... Despite what I said, I remember saying this to you as we coming into this game week, I thought it was going to be a very high variance game week. It doesn't feel like it. It feels like it's been a bit of a...
Because a lot of the big players that we were expecting to do stuff just didn't really. They didn't really perform in the way that they did. Rice with the DEFCON, that helped out today a bit as well.
Yeah.
Had I captained Haaland over Semenyo...
Couple more points.
That would have been four more. And actually maybe that is the difference between a red and a green, to be honest, because right. I'm 3 points currently off of a green arrow. So if I had that armband on Haaland rather than Semenyo, it makes a big difference.
Yeah. And talk to us about your team for next week then. How's it looking?
Well, so I've got 3 free transfers going into this week again.
Yeah, nice.
So despite having made 2 free transfers last week, as I mentioned before, my plan was to use 2 of them.
Rogers out. I mean, got to, haven't you? Got to be Rogers out.
If anyone mentions Nathan Rogers to me again, I will.
Wolves away, you're keeping him, no doubt.
Just
absolutely
honestly.
Keeping him.
If he blanks against Wolves, prepare for next Sunday night.
Van de Ven on your bench again.
Yeah.
Oh, please, come on.
He's there to look pretty.
He literally is in your team because he's your favourite player and you like him. You never play him. Constantly bench Van de Ven.
Remember when I bench boosted and he got me all those goals?
Yeah, that's why I mean, you still benched him.
Yeah, he's brilliant though, isn't he?
Yeah, sure.
I actually quite like my team, but this is the problem. Every time I quite like my team, it's a problem.
Senesi home to Sunderland, you're playing. You ain't benching that, are you?
Right, how?
You're not benching that.
But how?
Gehi. Away at Leeds. I think you're playing Senesi over Gehi.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I do. I'll have a conversation about it, but I think you've got to find a route for Senesi in there. You're certainly subbing him over Van der Ven.
Maybe I play Senesi rather than Creeper Jr.
No, as well as Sunderland are crap at the minute. Get them both on.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I mean,
Rogers, bench Rogers for Christ's sake. Come on.
the reality is that I will also very likely sell Enzo for Verts.
God, talk about a benching headache here.
So I'm very close to a bench boost if I do this. Like, it is very close to being bench boostable.
You're going to end up benching Croupy at home to Sunderland, which doesn't feel great to me, I'll be honest.
No, but he doesn't often start back-to-back games, Croupy.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to see what happens.
You will actually bench Rogers at this rate. It'll be hilarious.
Oh, probably.
Hilarious when you bench the Rogers clean sheet and hat trick. Brilliant.
That would be very my season. Yeah, I quite like it. I actually don't think I actually have to do anything.
No, like, I would agree.
I look at this team and think, well, I could just let it be. I could just play this through as it is and do absolutely nothing this week and let it just see what happens. Or I could do my plan mood. I think I'll be waiting, whatever happens here, I'll be waiting until the end of the week and seeing what Slotty has got to say for himself about Verts.
Well, I think I remember seeing a tweet from our friend FPL Harry, I think, earlier as well, when he was talking about, you know, this is a week to maybe save your transfers up until the deadline, because on Friday we're going to get European Cup draws, aren't we?
Oh,
and
yeah.
We're going to know a bit more about, well, we'll have more insight, let's say, into who's through, who's not, who's playing who, who's playing what. And we'll have a bit more of a feel for whether we think City and Palace and others will blank or not in 31, won't we?
Well, we'll know if Palace are in or out.
That's a fact. Yeah, that's a fact. So again, for the advice we usually peddle out here on a Sunday night is hold your transfers and wait for information. Now, I know it looks like Enzo's going to go down either tonight or tomorrow night. He looks like he's crashing already. In my case, I'll be holding him anyway because I'm not in a luxury position.
I've got some value as well in him because he's actually worth 6.7 to me. He's 6.9 at the minute. So I can afford to take one.
You can afford a 0.1 drop. Okay, well, that's good. That's
I'll ride out one. So it's okay. But, you know, I could see a position where I roll through next weekend and I'm just roll out this little motley crew.
Mm.
Or I go and I do a Verts move or, you know, but we'll see. It would not necessarily be too much of an issue for me to not do anything and then roll into 29 with 4 free transfers again. Like,
okay.
I do feel like the slight red, since my wild card, I know that my rank still looks utterly terrible. However, like, it's massively better. It's massively, massively better. It's like up 1.6 million since wildcard. So it is, we're getting somewhere. So the fact that I've got these free transfers in the bag, I've dealt with, you know, an Arsenal issue for next week for 31 already.
Yeah.
I'm now quite happy with the possibility at the moment as things stand of selling Gehi so that I get Nico O'Reilly later. All of this stuff feels like it's putting me in a nice position where I don't feel like I'm going to be chasing my tail too much when everyone else wildcards in 32.
All right, Very good, very good. And just for, because you can see it on the YouTube, but I don't think the podcasters can see it, you've currently got the armband on Haaland rather than Bruno Fernandes. Is that going to be a hazard captaincy choice for next week?
I think that's more to do with the fact that I did that slide very fast when I got
You did it fast, yeah. You think you're going to captain Bruno next week?
Probably.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
I nearly captained Bruno this week. I kind of wish I had.
Well, maybe. And I noticed actually when I was speaking to Max earlier, so Max, our lad, he's captained in Bremo this week, randomly out of nowhere. So it could look quite good next tomorrow, this time tomorrow night. So, yeah, there it is, guys. That's the pod. That's the video for this week. Well done for this game week. For those of you that have got Manchester United or even Everton assets tomorrow, then look forward to playing, seeing how your assets get on in that game. Coming up this week, Sam, busy week. What we got going on?
Yeah, busy week again, as usual. I am off the benching this week with Praz. So we're doing that on Tuesday this week. And then obviously the FPL pod will be back on Thursday this week. We'll be back on Thursday evening with our Ohana podcast previewing game week 28. And we'll be recording that as the Thursday evening fixtures finish, so that'll give us an insight into what's happening with Crystal Palace and all of those guys and the progression.
Thanks to everyone listening to that, by the way, the Ohana podcast. There's loads of you listening to that, but obviously, as you guys know, last year we put that behind the paywall, so it's only the slackers and the patrons that could listen to it. But this year, it's in front of the paywall, so you can go and get a free account over on Patreon, patreon.com/FPL family, and you can download and listen to our game week preview. Every Thursday we put it out, actually, and even a couple of weeks ago when there was an FA Cup break, we still did a podcast. It was like an Ask Us Anything podcast. So if you're interested to hear about other areas of our life, if you're interested in that stuff.
I don't talk about Morgan Rogers.
Is the Winter Olympic sport that you really want to do? No spoilers. You have to go and listen to the podcast if you want to go and find out what Winter Olympic sport Sam really wants to do and that I absolutely don't want to do.
And so we're going to go and do it together?
We're absolutely not going to do it together. But that Ask Us Anything is still live over on Patreon, so go and download that. That's evergreen bit of content, right, guys? There's very little FPL in there. You can go and find out some more stuff about us. But if you are listening to that podcast, thank you, right? We've had loads and loads of, like thousands of downloads of that podcast since we made it free. People are interested for free. So if you are having to listen to it, thanks for listening to that. That will come out again on Thursday. We'll do another Ohana podcast. So get over to patreon.com/FPL family to go and get access to all of that stuff, as well as the different tiers in which you can come and support the channel. That's it for this week. Well done for this game. We will see. Good to be back, isn't it? First of all, good to be back.
Yeah.
Good to be back. We're going to go and watch a match today. You can go and see what I saw on TV.
I'm going to go and have a 5 minute of chill out.
You go and chill for 5 minutes. You can see how bad Liverpool were today against Tottenham Forest.
I'm just going to get upset watching it again. You've won now. You watch it calmer.
I will watch it much, much calmer. I'll be fine. I'll be fine.
All right.
I'm going to go and just make sure that Morgan Rogers is all right. I'm just going to go and make sure that Morgan is okay, because if he's watching...
Morgan, if you're watching, for God's sake, pull your socks up. I need some points from you.
There it is. On that note, we will end. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. We'll see you next week. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.